have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting when thoughts die to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They don't our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in a fought and died deep. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. And you run down my country, man. You walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. That's the name of this program. Here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, I've got an interesting story, and I do like people passing on the information to me. It's one of the ways, of course, we get to know things. And this is a story about a woman in Toronto who went to the unemployment office for assistance to find a job. She's a white woman. At the Toronto Employment and Social Services office in Scarborough, a request for training and job. I need a job. I'm feeling isolated, and she has asked me what I would like to do. I said I would like to work with children in the daycare, and she said that takes 14 weeks of training, but is on hold because they are full, and she suggested office jobs which require training as well. I said, okay, it's not that bad, and at last she suggested travel and hospitality, which requires training. I said, yes, I'm willing to do it, and the job is provided. No, none of this classes provide jobs. You have to make a resume, recommendation letter, and then be determined. I had to do the same, and other girls here, she said. We do not get jobs that easily. You have to work harder now to get a job. So when I heard this, I couldn't help but asking, how come it was said that Canada needs immigration? Because there's not enough workforce to it. She said that was in the 80s when jobs were handed to people. Now there are not enough jobs, and the immigration is closed. It's hard to get into Canada. Just the refugees, just the illegals. Voluntarily, I asked. She had an unfriendly face when I said illegals, and said that they were not illegals. They are a different situation, and I left. Now, this is a person at the unemployment, at the employment office, rather. Now, yes, she might be low low level, and I'm sure the higher ups will say, well, that's not exactly the party line, but the party line is we do need more immigrants. Why? For to do jobs. Okay, interesting. But what type of jobs? She says over the other side of her mouth, there are no jobs. And that's why they've cut back immigration. But they haven't cut back immigration. This is the great deception. They haven't cut back immigration. In fact, immigration is last year was at the highest level since 1913. So this is the highest level in 100 years at a time when government's own employment offices are saying they don't have enough jobs. Right, they don't have enough jobs. Well, why do we bring more immigrants in? Well, the official party line is Canada has a labor shortage. Really? A labor shortage? How is that? How do we have a labor shortage? We don't have a labor shortage. We have an immigration surplus. I bring this out simply because there is so much outright deception going on. Out of one side of their mouths, they will say immigration creates. We need immigration to grow our economy. And you have to ask. But how is that? How do we need immigration to grow our economy? We don't have enough jobs for our own people. Why would we bring in a single immigrant today? And that's, of course, a question that they don't want to answer. I'll tell you, the real answer is this. They want to replace us. And they don't care if people are unemployed. They don't care. In fact, lots of unemployed people mean lower wages. They don't care if it's hard for people to survive on such lower wages. In fact, in many ways, they don't even care about the immigrants that they're bringing in. Many of them will toil, if they toil at all, at fairly low-level jobs. Some will feel bitter that these are outside their, that they're more skilled than this. And that's true of many Canadians. We have been badly, vilely served by our political class, and I appreciate these little vignettes, and also the hurt our people feel seeking a job, wanting to contribute, wanting to be useful, and basically told, well, sorry. You have to take all this training, but even if you do, there's no guarantee you'll have a job. So in other words, Canadians are suckered again. There's every reason, with the things I found out at the conference I went to on the weekend, at the SCANSA conference in Stockholm, Sweden, right across the board in the white world, people are realizing how we have been lied to and betrayed. Well, this is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to play a podcast that I did with Brian Rue about an outrage that happened last week in the Canadian so-called justice system or in the human rights area. This is Paul Fromm.
Paul Fromm, you just got the sad news about Bill Watson with the BC Human Rights Tribunal. So, Paul, you want to update us on the latest?
Yeah, this is a disaster for believing Christians who wish to participate in the political process. It will, if upheld, compel speech. You will be compelled to refer to the transgender by whatever pronoun they choose. If he thinks he's a she, then you're going to have to refer to that creature as she or her. This is something we warned about for the last 5 or 6 years. These changes in the human rights legislation will bring about compelled speech, not just prevent you from saying certain things, but force you to say what you don't believe. This is totalitarianism. There's a 104-page judgment written by Devin Cousineau, and that's D-E-V-Y-H. It's a female, not a man. It just oozes hostility to Christian belief, to common sense, and states such things as arguing transgenderism is simply not allowed anymore. It's a fact. If you disagree, you just better shut up. The background is that in the 2017 provincial election, Bill Watchart handed out about 1,500 leaflets in the Vancouver Falls Creek riding for a transgender lobbyist, Ronan O'Jay, was running for the NDP. He's the vice president of the provincial NDP, or he is a vice president of the provincial NDP. He's an outspoken lobbyist and advocate for accommodations for transgenderism and so on. And he's constantly on the warpath. Bill Watchart handed out a leaflet, which essentially said there are only two sexes, male and female. That's what the Bible says. And that's what common sense dictates. That's what people believed all through the ages. And if Mr. Ogier cannot get his sexuality right, can you really trust him to, deal with provincial issues like budgets and so on? That was the argument. That was the leaflet. Did it have an effect? It's hard to know. Ogier did lose by about 400 votes. The trend in Metro Vancouver was to the NDP. Might he have won without if they're not being believed? It's hard to tell. Anyway, he was furious at this and very quickly filed a complaint before the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal, which is quite clearly riddled with leftists and with supporters of the LGBT agenda. And Bill Watchart from the beginning called it a kangaroo court, and believed he would not get justice. I did not call it the kangaroo court, but I do now. And he did not get justice. The ruling is appalling. He must pay Ogier $20,000 for bad conduct, particularly because during the tribunal hearings, Watchart continued to hand out leaflets about transgenderism and critical of the tribunal. And the tribunal, or the person who wrote this, Devin Cousineau, does not have much belief in dissent. And if you don't respect what's going on, and if you don't put a silly smile on your face as you are bent over and a hot poker is inserted off your backside, well, then you're going to be punished because you didn't uniquely kowtow to them. $20,000 for that, and $35,000 in damages. And the report that did the judgment devoted a fair number of paragraphs discussing previous damages in other cases. And these are punitive damages, and they are a dollar and a few cents less than the biggest award ever given by the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal. So because Mr. Watchart had the courage to express traditional Christian views about transgenderism, he is to be punished as a warning to others. A total judgment of $55,000. With interest beginning to click right from the beginning until it's all paid off.
I can just show for the audience, this is the cover of the Metro Star paper yesterday. This is Ogier. This is the one who put the complaint against Bill. This is the story. So, Yeah, it's just a disgrace. It's just a travesty to our justice system.
In the report, and I'm quoting directly, it says, even questioning transgenderism is discriminatory. So probably what we're doing on this show is discriminatory. I don't know. But, quote, the proposition that we should continue to debate and deny the existence of trans people is at the root of the prejudice and stereotypes that continue to oppress them. I would think $55,000 doesn't sound to me like oppression. Being made the vice president of the British Columbia NDP doesn't sound to me like oppression. Has anybody offered you $55,000 lately, Brian?
For whenever my feelings are hurt. Also, medical science doctors say this transgenderism is nonsense. This is a political statement. It's not science. It's not truth. It's not medical science.
No, and in fact, some psychiatrists would say it's a form of mental illness.
It's a delusion of some kind.
Quoting the report again, it rests on the persistent belief held by people like Mr. Watcott that a person's genitals are the essential determinant of their sex, and therefore gender. The result of this belief is to necessarily cast transgendered people as either deceivers or pretenders. Throughout his testimony, Mr. Watcott refused to recognize Ms. O'Shea as a woman, or to abide by the tribunal's frequent orders not to call her a man. And this is scary. What's a transcript, Brian?
A transcript?
Yeah.
You mean it's the proceedings of what was stated at the tribunal?
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be exactly, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I was there too, it is, for the 4 days.
Well, listen to this. This is Devin Cousineau writing the report. In the meantime, I have replaced his male pronouns with the correct female ones. So in referring to his testimony, that Bill Watcott testified for about a day, that testimony where he referred to O'Shea as he or him as being replaced by she or her, that is a fraud. That is not what he said.
That's not what he said.
Even if what he said was complete gibberish, that ought to be there. This is mind-bending.
Yeah, the transcript of the tribunal, even one of the four or one of the three members of the tribunal, one of the men, he accidentally called O'Shea he a few times as well. We were laughing about it in the court. He was doing it himself, one of the panel judges.
That's right. We are being forced to say what we don't believe. And this is Alice in Wonderland territory. For deeply held religious reasons, Bill Watcott cannot accept that. Ronan O'Shea, who was born with a penis and fathered two children and was married to a female, and then I think, seven, 8 years ago, decided to change, took hormone therapy and got heaven knows what all else and started turning out as a woman. If Watcott cannot accept that now we have a woman, then he is to be silenced. He cannot speak his thought. That this absolutely nukes religious freedom. Most Christians, or certainly Bible-believing Christians, would hold the view that God created, in fact, this is out of Genesis, God created man and woman. He didn't create man, woman, and somebody that was non-binary. So that you are the person of the genitals with which you were born. If you're born with a penis, you're a man. And if you're born with a vagina, you're a woman. This is not tough stuff. This is something believed virtually throughout humanity, regardless of religion. So in order to comply with this tyranny, Bill Watcott would just basically have to shut up. But you know, Christians cannot. I discussed this with my good friend Gordy Watson out in he's a longtime protester against abortion in Vancouver. He helped us out at the trial with Bill Watcott. Gordy Watson said that Christians are challenged in other places to go. You know, we're told to go forth and tell ye all nations. It's not a matter of keeping the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ to yourself. I'm saved, the rest of the world can go to hell. No, you're enjoined to go teach ye all nations, and not to keep your light under a, you know, like a bushel, or to keep it hidden. The Protestant take on the Bible is that we are called to testify, which means to speak to what we believe, to go forth and preach. And Gordon Watson, I think, put it in, you know, slightly more modern terms, saying that we are challenged to do that. Not all of us can, but those of us who can go and do that are supposed to. So Bill Watcott, who has the Spirit upon him, cannot be true to himself if he doesn't say that or testify to what he believes. But he can't, or he will be in big peril if he does. He does not believe that Ronan O'Shea is a woman. He can call her, Ronan can call himself Morgan, put on a dress with a bit of cleavage and show a bit of a bust line, put on the earrings, put on lipstick, put on high heels. In Bill's opinion, it doesn't make O.J. a woman. I come at it pretty much like you do, Brian, more from a scientific, psychiatric point of view, and I think it's just wrong. But even if we're wrong, we should have the right to say it. Well, anyway, we do not. And Devin Cousio is absolutely clear about that. Even to question transgenderism is discriminatory, which means you better shut up. And so what we have is a anti-Christian, homosexual, sexual deviant agenda being forced on people. And if you speak up, you could face fines. This judgment is an absolute travesty. A lot of the $35,000 is justified. And if I can just go to the judgment and try to find it, it's justified basically on the basis that the leaflets hurt Mr. O'Shea's.
Well, I just comment that I really like your speech there, Paul. As this advocate, you're saying that O'Shea, he's a political player, and Bill was, this was an election, and Bill felt you shouldn't vote for this person. It wasn't just a personal attack hurting his feelings. This is politics, and political campaigns, politicians, people have the right to criticize each other, to criticize candidates, and that's what Bill was doing. He's saying, don't vote for this person. This is the reason why. And now he's saying his feelings are hurt, so he's getting a $35,000 award plus $20,000 because his feelings were hurt. Well, this is politics, and O'Shea's a player. He can take this, and he ran for other office after that. So this is obviously ridiculous.
Yeah, I pointed that out at the hearing, that both of them are players. Bill Watcott's a Christian activist. O'Shea is a transgender activist. He was before the election. He continues to be after the election. And he said, I'm trying to get the, in the judgment, they completely accepted everything that O'Shea said about how his feelings were hurt, how he was afraid, how his dignity was wounded, and so on. I would say that in terms of dignity, a man who puts on lipstick and wears a woman's, I guess you might call it flip hairdo, who puts on a dress and handbag and so on and presents as a woman, I don't think there's much the Block Talk could say that would damage that person's dignity. I mean, they presented themselves in a...
He's going to get comments from people anyways, yeah.
In an unusual fashion. That was one thing, but the other hypocrisy. I think I finally found it. There's big chunks of Loger's testimony Cousineau says, more importantly, though the flyer and its potential ramifications terrified Ms. Loger in her testimony, she explained, terrified her. I was afraid because these flyers were appearing everywhere, and we didn't know if it was one person or multiple people doing this. So what? But what we did know was that these people were really, really, really driven and had very, very, very strong negative feelings against me. Oh, that's politics! Anyway, it continues. This is her testimony. And I'm a transgender woman. People kill transgender women because of who we are. And they start with this. Oh, do they? Did Watcott suggest anybody should kill her? Watcott made it quite clear, if you agree with what I'm saying, don't vote for her. That's perfectly within the realm of mainstream politics. If you don't like a candidate for whatever reason, don't vote for that person. That was the message, not go and beat her up or something. I've lost the text again, but I was very, 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 very scared that this was not actually the end result, that it was a prelude to something else. I mean, violence. But Bill Watcott never advocated violence. Bill Watcott never went up and slapped O'Shea or anything like that. And then more from the testimony. After this flyer came out, I had to worry about what Mr. Watcott looked like. But I also had to worry about other people who maybe gave him credibility. Who were they? How much did I have to worry about someone attacking me while I'm going around knocking on doors by myself at night? This was, you know, it's a vulnerable place already to be a candidate. And to be a transgender candidate is really vulnerable because people listen to outrageous things like this. Even though maybe my friends don't listen, the people who I associate with don't take this very seriously. It's still in the back of their heads. There's a little bit of an impact. But more importantly, is the people that are likely to be triggered by this or are enraged by it. But nobody was being urged to do anything other than to vote against O'Shea. That was the purpose of the leaflet. Not urging people to attack her physically or him physically or whatever physically. So the fear and the paranoia and the even at the tribunal, we challenged that and said, yeah, but you didn't drop out of the race. For all these fears of violence and so on, you didn't drop out. And then in 2018, you ran again unsuccessfully for Board of Education. So it didn't drive you out of the public sphere. All it is that some people, for Christian reasons of Christian belief or for other beliefs, don't agree with the transgendered agenda and think basically you're a badly mixed up person and are not fit to be elected. That's their opinion. Yeah, should they not have the right to the opinion? Just like there'd be other people who will probably say, oh, it doesn't matter. That's what politics is all about. Well, not anymore in British Columbia. This horrific judgment will have to be appealed. Although there actually is no appeal, what will have to be done is to seek judicial review, take it before a judge and say, look, if this holds, that's the end of religious liberty for Christians in Canada. That's the end of the transgender will be able to run, do anything, and if you criticize them, you've got problems. That really is a dictatorship and tyranny. And O'Shea's lawyer, who's a lesbian, Susanna Quayle said at the hearing, smiling very sweetly, that this type of legislation doesn't really affect Mr. Watcott's religious liberties very much. He can still speak his hateful views in private, which is an outrage, and would violate his rights as a Christian, because he's obligated, if he can, to share his views. Yes, it would still be legal if he sits down for a coffee with you, Brian, and says what he believes about Ronan O'Shea, but he can't do it publicly. That neuters him as a Christian. And I can't imagine, we've been through 30 years of endless accommodations of other religions, you know, it's actually not religious, it's cultural, but some Muslim women will insist they have to wear the hijab, even though many people find that offensive. Well, they've got the right to practice their religion. Businesses have to give Muslims time off several times a day for their prayers. They don't give Christians time off. So we've made endless accommodations so others can practice their religion.
I think what they're accommodating here is the Talmudists. It's the Rothschild Zionist Talmudists who are behind this move, you know. They're the ones forcing this on society.
Anyway, that is the judgment. I can't emphasize this enough. It is a catastrophe for free speech. It's a catastrophe for thinking men and women in British Columbia. If you question what this state of transgenderism, if you think it's perhaps a mental illness or a delusion, then you'd better watch what you say. You can't even debate it. Now, that's according to Devin Cousineau, who is by no means neutral. We challenged her, we want her recused from the panel because I don't know if she's a lesbian activist, but she certainly has given repeatedly to lesbian causes. She's an NDP activist. We were denied a panel free of a reasonable apprehension of bias. And that's a fundamental right that we have to... members of a panel or judges cannot be perceived to be biased. And at least Cousineau, I'm not sure about the other two on the panel, Cousineau wrote the judgment. She had a dog in this race, she really did. We are looking with Bill Watcott, whom I know personally, we are looking at a seriously abused Christian martyr. And I know we won't give up, but this is bad for Christians in general. You will be forced to say what you don't believe. Even at the tribunal, I decided to play along with their rules. So I didn't refer to O'Shea as he or him. I referred to him by the noun. The complainant said in the complainant's brief, the complainant believes that, I mean, it's really awkward. You know, it forces you to talk like a not very well programmed robot, but for purposes of the tribunal, because we were told we'd throw it out if we didn't. In fact, Watcott was even threatened with being thrown out of his own tribunal.
That this is a kangaroo court, anyways. Yeah, so they threatened them right there. So that's part of the $20,000 now.
Oh, yes, Ben. He behaved badly and didn't put a silly smile on his face as he was being anally penetrated with a poker. I hate to be crude, but that is exactly what we're being forced to do. Jordan Peterson warned about this too, when the sexual identity was added to the Canadian Human Rights Code and the hate law, that people will be forced to say what they don't believe. Why should I have to refer to Ronan O'Shea as Morgan and call it she or her? I don't believe it. If I'm deluded and wake up tomorrow morning and think, you know, I speak a little bit of French, I am interested in military, I think I'm Napoleon. I put on some tight pants and a three-corner hat and started putting my hand around my tummy to hold up my pants and walk down the street. Nobody has to call me Emperor. They don't have to play in my deluded sandbox. You know, I think I'm Napoleon. You don't have to call me Emperor. Why should we have to say what we don't believe about these people? But that's where the law is.
Yeah, I also want to comment on Wednesday. I was at the University of British Columbia, their Students Free Speech Association. They hosted Megan Murphy. She's a feminist, and she's opposed to these trans feminists. And what she said, what Ogier did is he interfered with the Vancouver Rape Relief Group here, and they had a $3,000 grant, which was denied them, because Ogier was forcing them to accept, you know, men dressed as women, trans women, and they felt they want a safe space for men. It's just for women, so they refuse this. And Ogier forced this on. So Megan Murphy was saying what Ogier is doing is not building up, he's tearing down. So, you know, he's causing a lot of pain and suffering for the Vancouver, you know, Women's Rape Relief Group as well. So he's causing a lot of damage. And then he plays the victim card. So the transgender is like a privileged minority. And he's playing.
Yeah, it's interesting that Megan Murphy would say that his role is tearing down. OJ has a huge fight with feminists. There are feminists who say, and now they may be in trouble, but trans are not women. And so for women exclusive places like this Rape Crisis Center and other services for battered or vulnerable women, the women, I mean, obviously don't want men around. I mean, you know, it's for women. And the feminists back that. And this is where they come into conflict with Ogier, who says that, I'm a woman, because I feel like a woman. And they say, wait, you may feel like a woman, but you're not a woman, so trans are not women. That's what the feminists say, and Ogier has a big battle going on with them. And I agree with Megan Murphy, he's a wrecker. He has certainly caused a lot of damage to certainly the Bill Watcott and to Christians, and you know, I think we're going to have to pull things together and appeal this to the judicial review. This cannot be allowed to stand.
Yeah, I just have some questions and comments from the chat here in the chat. Okay. I just want to read some of them. One is the tribunal part of the executive branch of your local government or the legislative branch?
That's a good question. It comes under the Ministry of Justice, and it's appointed. The tribunal is appointed by the provincial government. I'm not sure I'm answering that question exactly, but that's the best of my knowledge. That's the case.
Okay. Another question here is from his name is Reconciliation. It says, "Who decides the makeup of who belongs on the tribunal?"
The tribunal decides. Originally, it was going to be just one person, Devin Cousineau, and I think we made such a fuss about her obvious bias that she asked the government to add two more people, and they did. So in the end, there was a three-person tribunal. I believe it's the Human Rights Tribunal itself, but the organization that decides whether who will be appointed, and usually. People are considered for appointment because they all are already very much into you know, minority rights. So the you don't have to believe in freedom of speech. In fact, Cousineau in her judgment says this is not about freedom of speech. This is about hate speech. This is about freedom of speech.
Yeah. I just also want to just thank all the people in the chat for all the questions and comments, you know, just quite a bit of interest. It's great that I have the chat back now. I've got no strikes on the Brian Root channel, so now we can do these live chats.
Well, you know, I can't emphasize enough for people in British Columbia the importance of getting on to your provincial MLA and raising your concerns. This is an attack on Christianity. It's an attack on freedom of thought. It's an attack on political freedom. Watcott should have had every right to go out there and say Don't vote for OJ because OJ is sexually mixed up. That apparently was prima facie evidence of discrimination. We argued there is no right to a person's vote. No candidate has a my vote, and I have a right to decide who to vote for on any number of reasons: bias, carefully studying their platform. Their name is third on the ballot, and three is my lucky number. Any number of rational or irrational reasons, you have no God-given right to my vote, and therefore I have every right to discriminate. In fact, in the recent by-election in Burnaby South, the Chinese woman whose name I forget was the Liberal candidate, and where she didn't think it would be seen in Chinese social media, she would say, "Vote for me and not for the East Indian. I'm the she wasn't actually the only Chinese candidate. The Conservatives ran one too, but you know, I'm Chinese like you." In other words, a clear appeal to bias. Vote for me because I'm Chinese. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I wouldn't vote for it. It's not a reason that moves me, but that's a reason that moves many people. She speaks for me. She's like me. What Bob Cobb was saying is OJ is sexually deluded and therefore it doesn't have good judgment and probably won't be a good MLA. Don't vote for it. There is no discrimination. Or I should say, there's only discrimination if you have a legal right to it, to something like goods or services. But we discriminate all the time. We discriminate on what in other areas might be prohibited grounds.
We have the right to choose. We have the right to discriminate. That's freedom of choice, freedom of association.
This has to be appealed. That's going to require money. As we move further down the line, I'll probably be back with subsequent broadcasts. But this is all about your right to think, your right to involve yourself in politics, and your right as a believer, or certainly as a Christian, not only to hold views. I mean, how can people prevent you from holding a view? But to express your views. This decision is outrageous, and I wouldn't always be as hardcore as Bill Walcott and some of the things he said about the tribunal, but it's pretty hard not to see it as a kangaroo court and an absolute gang rape of Christian rights.
Yeah, I see it as just another part of a large agenda to undermine white European Christian society, part of the Rothschild Zionist Talmudic agenda, just to undermine society. So it goes against science, it goes against common sense, it goes against freedom of speech. So you're right, this is a disaster for freedom of speech.
And it's a part of an ongoing attack and to degenerate our society, where we elevate somebody like OJ.
Here he is, put in the cover of the paper again. Lots of press, a lot of media coverage. Now he's invited to a Lutheran church in Kamloops. He's invited to give a talk now to a Lutheran church in Kamloops. I just wrote to their pastor saying, "Why are you doing this?"
That's a good point, I think that headline captures some of what the danger is. Not up for debate. So I must accept it, that creature as a sheep.
So it says not up for debate. That's it.
And that came right out of the judgment. It's like the grim days of communist China, where you better wave your little red book and proclaim the supremacy of Marxism, Leninism, once they told the plot. It may become dangerous even to question the transgender. This is a catastrophe, and a society like this cannot long prevail. We are up against virile enemies, virile competition. Some good, some bad. I think of communist China, for instance. they are on a roll economically, militarily. They want hegemony, at least in East Asia, perhaps even further afield. How do we protect ourselves or confront them with the transgendered in power? I mean, they must, in Peking, be looking at this and choking on their wonton soup. They can't believe what a collection of idiots. And maybe moral degenerates. You know, maybe we don't have the stuff to survive. I don't know. I hope it's not true. But you know, when you've got people in the corners of power like Gavin Cusino imposing speech upon us, saying you can't discuss or debate certain things, this order will not long last.
Yeah, I can imagine the Russians laughing at us too, like, what's happened to our society? I really appreciate your comments, Paul. We can keep on top of this and talk about more as things unfold in the future. And yeah, I hope Bill appeals. I sent him an email just this afternoon to send him my support.
Yeah, we'll be back to this one again, Brian. Thanks for having this, and I want to thank all the people in the chat room who made their comments, and this was really good.
Okay, we'll be in touch. Okay, thanks a lot, Paul.
Thanks.
Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Go ahead and go to my musical break right now, and and this is Dottie Jack, and Pick Me Up on Your Way Down. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. On Your Way Down. This is Paul Fromm, and that was Dottie Jack, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Here's an old Ray Price song sung by Heather Miles, Crazy Arms, and this is Paul Fromm. ¶¶
somebody new. And my early heart keeps saying you're not mine. My troubled mind knows soon to another you'd be with.
Song by Heather, Walk On By.
Just walk on by. Wait on the corner. I love you, but we strangers when we meet. Just walk on by. Wait on the corner. If I see you tomorrow on some screen town, pardon me if I don't stop to say hello. I belong to another, it wouldn't look so good to know someone I've not seen. supposed to know. Just walk on by, wait on the corner. Tomorrow night, we can't stop, so why should we pretend? Just walk on by, wait on the corner. I love you, but we're strangers when we meet. Just walk on by, wait on corner. I love you, but we're strangers when we meet. Oh, I love you, but we're strangers when we meet.
Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me. Back with the game tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign out tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes, and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever.